The analogy that's in both of my books, in My Subtle Treasure and Find Your Treasure, is teaching children to visualize they have a treasure chest inside their soul of inner strengths.
And I loved also when the little girl said, but how will I know it's true?
And whatever you're remembering or knowing innately is true and is correct. And keep your light shining bright, stay connected, and believe in yourself and feel very empowered. And remember, you're a powerful, creative soul.
Today, I am super excited to have Kate Searle on the program. Kate is a mom, wife, geologist, and author. She loves gemstones and followed her passion into a career as a geologist, working for almost two decades in Western Australia and Canada. She returned to university to study law and completed her JD law degree. After becoming a mom to two beautiful children, Kate discovered the joy of storytelling. Kate has woven her love of truth and geology into her children's books, My Treasure, which is a picture book, and Find Your Treasure, a junior fiction chapter book. Kate wants all children to know about the incredible powers of their own souls and hopes her books, games, and resources help kids all around the world to feel inspired, empowered, and connected. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. How are you, Kate?
Good. Thank you, Marla. Thank you so much for having me on your beautiful podcast.
Yes, it's so exciting. So exciting to have you. And we were just talking about you're on the west coast of Australia. So we have quite a time difference here.
Yeah, so it's Friday morning.
Yes. It's Thursday, early evening for us. So Kate, wow, your life went from geologist to lawyer to becoming a mother and really diving into children and spirituality. And I want you to tell the listeners all about your book because I just finished it and I loved it. It was so great. That's the little one. I'll show, well, you have it too, but Find Your Treasure right here.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your background, education, and how you began down this spiritual path.
Yeah, sure. So I was born in Western Australia in the country. So I've always had a strong connection to nature and I always loved gemstones and crystals and rocks and just followed that passion all the way through high school and into my first degree as a geologist. I love volcanoes. I loved the idea of, you know, traveling the world and seeing how the world was made. I found it really kind of fascinating. We all live here on this planet. Don't we all want to know kind of how it was made and how it works? Right. That was my first kind of, you know, key sort of passion and fascination. And I followed that, became a geologist. And then started my career working as a geologist in my early 20s, exploring for gold and nickel in Western Australia and then over in Canada. I lived there for a few years and it was just a beautiful experience to be, you know, in a beautiful part of the world.
Yeah.
And just loved everything about geology. But I came back to Australia as I was getting sort of closer to 30 and met my husband, who's also a geologist. So we definitely have a lot of, you know, similar passions. And all throughout my 20s, I'd been, you know, sort of reading in my own time, like you think Deepak Chopra, Doreen Virtue, or you name it. Like I was always kind of had this feeling that there must be something more to what we're seeing. I always had a kind of depth to me and an interest. And then when I met my husband, Sean, we had that similarity in that we've always kind of felt like there was a bit more. So in our like late 20s, we were actually, I read The Course of Miracles, A Course in Love. We read Michael Newton's books, Journey of Souls, Destiny of Souls, and really started to go, okay, there is more to, you know, the planet, to the universe than probably what we've learned at school and at uni. It's not as simple as it's made out to be. We're part of a really big, you know, multiverse. So, which I'm sure you probably shared a similar path, Marla, in reading many of those books.
Yes, I'm in the middle of Course in Miracles now, and okay. I think a lot of people do this. I've started it quite a few times, but this time I'm definitely, you know, into it and just really enjoying the lessons every day. So, and of course, I know Michael Newton's books and all of those.
Yes. Yeah. And I highly recommend Course in Love when you finish too. That was, okay. I felt like that was a real transformation. And when I finished that, I just remember thinking, it's not like a curiosity, like maybe there's something more. It was like a knowing. I knew that there was something more.
And it's called A Course in Love?
A Course in Love. It's a companion book to A Course in Miracles.
Okay, great. Great.
Yeah. So you could kind of say like I was, there were two facets to me, like my geology, my passion for work, but there were also a depth, the spiritual side to me. At the time, I was working for a big mining company, and the area of work that I was working in was predominantly mining law. So I jumped on that one and started my law degree. So whilst I was working, this is before I had kids, I was studying law as well. And again, I found it incredibly fascinating. I think there's a scholar archetype in me, definitely. I love learning. And it was sort of similar, like it was the next step on of, you know, a whole sort of society is governed by rules and regulations. And I wanted to know what they were and how it all worked, because I could see that society was structured in a way and law sort of, you know, underpins all of that. And, yeah, I found that a fascinating degree too, because it really showed me that, you know, our laws are created and made up and they change over time. So I could kind of start to see that, you know, we can change things, you know, we can make change. Yes. Everything's not a static environment. And then I became a mother. So I had our daughter Emily first, who's now 8, and our son Josh, who's now 5. And so you could kind of see that when I became a mum, I straight off the bat, I wanted to tell them that they were a soul and not having a human experience. And as I got older, I could start to see when Emily started talking that she was probably a different child to who I was when I was that age in the 80s. She was just full of light, very articulate. Some of the stuff she started to say very, you know, at a young age, I found phenomenal. And like she would talk to my grandpa who'd already passed away. Mm-hmm. She'd never met him. So things like that, she'd say little things, and then she would sometimes, if you got her on a topic, she'd be telling me things. Her knowledge was beyond mine. But she's still an ordinary kid, so she's not, you know, like it's like with children, like the generation that, you know, our children now, sorry, that's my cat scratching at the door, you know, we've got to support them in a way that allow them to still be, you know, children. They've still got egos. They're still little humans. But at the same time, they have a lot more wisdom and knowledge than we have, especially. At the time, it was kind of, coalescing with the COVID years. And Sean and I would often talk about what we'd want to, you know, tell our children when, you know, as they're growing up about the world and about themselves. So that was kind of like where I was at before COVID happened. It really overlapped with the beginnings of the COVID years. So at the time that COVID hit, if you like, Sean and I, my husband and I, were both working full-time in pretty high-powered roles. Sean had his own business as a geologist, and our children were very young. They were 2 and 4. So all of a sudden we're all at home, and it was just very stressful. It was just a pressure pot of us both trying to work and have meetings on Zoom, and then the children were there, and it just didn't work. So in that environment, I was meditating a lot to help myself to feel calm. And it was then that I literally had just this burst of inspiration. I'd accidentally locked myself out of the house one day when Sean was out. And it just, what became Find Your Treasure just flooded into my mind. And out the back, luckily, there was a black texter in a cardboard box, and I just started writing. And it was just pouring out. And the way I can describe it is it's as though I'd read my book and I was remembering it. Mm-hmm. I wasn't like trying to write it, even though I did have to write it. it was like this feeling, this knowledge that of the story and of the importance of the message that I was communicating to children and to my children, but to all children. And I thank God Sean is very, very supportive. And, you know, over the coming weeks, I'd just be writing at night, I'd meditate and I'd just pour out, I'd write, I'd wake up early in the morning, just write. And then in the daytime, I'd be looking after the children. And I, with his support, I ended up resigning from my job and just taking care of the children, you know, full time and just writing. So it took about 3 months. And at the end of that 3 months, I had a 5,000 word rhyming manuscript.
I love it.
And I thought, what's this? And I said to my sister, like, where do I print this? And she's like, no, I think you're going to have to like work on it a little bit. Like it was so poetic and absolutely beautiful, but it was like, it was more of a script than a story. And the age range for Find Your Treasure is say 7 to 12, 7 to 13. So, I then found an amazing editor and I worked with her over the course of 6 months on Zoom. She was in the East Coast of Australia. She was incredible. And I, definitely put my law degree helped in learning how to write, I think, because there's a lot of it is, you know, obviously writing and grammar and structure and being willing to rewrite and edit over and over again. Mm-hmm. So she really guided me to craft a story that, you know, children could read.
Right.
But it was an absolute joy. The process of it was just so joyful.
Yeah. I was so touched by your story just because, or not just because, but it's a simple, magical story that brings out imagination, creativity, teaches a child about intuition, teaches them. I love when you say, let's see, I wanted to let children remember that they are more than a body, but a soul. And can you just elaborate on that a little bit? What inside of you realized that the importance, why it was important for a child to understand that?
Definitely. And I think from my own, you know, readings and experiences, I've done some past life regressions. It was a knowledge that I've, you know, I'm living who I am now, but I'm an eternal soul having different experiences, having different lifetimes. So that was a knowledge, but I feel like to me, maybe that was more appropriate at my age, your generation too, to discover that as you got older. Whereas I felt like it was imperative for children because they're entering a different world, a very, very different world.
Yeah.
Our worlds were slow, gentle. It allowed a process of sort of self-discovery, a lot of discovery. We didn't have the internet when we were, you know. Whereas children now, for example, Emily got her first laptop at school yesterday in grade 4. And as much as we don't like it, this is the world they're being born into. They're being born into a digital world. They're being born into a world where social media is part of their daily life, probably as they'll grow up. And as we all know, it has the benefits of connection and expression, and it's a platform. We all need it. We use it now. We can't go without it. But at the same time, it's used for subconscious conditioning. And when you're an adult and you're aware of that and you can scroll through your Instagram and realize, hey, those ads, you know, I'm seeing the advertisements because it's the algorithm, it's you know, it's programming me. But children, they don't have the maturity of their brain. Their brains aren't fully mature yet. So I just felt it was really important for them to know that yes, you're a soul, because a lot of them still remember from, you know, heaven and, yes, and coming in, and they're so full of light and love. And some of the, I had a review from a little girl who said, thank you so much, Kate, for writing this book. It's so full of light and love. That alone to me just showed who she is.
Right.
And I've had a 15-year-old girl just recently tell me that she wished she had that book when she was little. She would have read it over and over. So it was like I wanted to validate to them, yes, from a young age, whatever you're remembering or knowing innately is true and is correct. And keep your light shining bright. Stay connected. and believe in yourself and feel very empowered and remember your powerful creative soul. And I'm hoping then they won't shut down, in those teenage years, or which that I think is going to become very, very important. And I see like the role of, our generation is to shepherd and guide these children, support them, keep their light shining bright, keep them being creative, encourage them to spend time being imaginative and playful, because that's helping them, keep all of their inner strength shining bright. So
it's so true. And this is what this podcast is all about, what you're talking about now. And not only that, look what it does for us, to be able, it helps us to remember and us to find more wonder and awe when we say introducing, but like you said, the children already know it, but helping them to remember that they are a soul and what's really, really important in life. And there is an inner power, if you want to call it the divine, or if you want to call it God. I loved that in your book where you gave, what was it? What was the wording that you used?
The definition. And that's right. That was an important one. It was saying, it's the source of the universe.
Yes.
And you can call it God, but it's knowing that you are part of the universe and there is a source to the universe. And like we all know, the word God has been used by religion so heavily, it's weighted in a way, that word.
Yes,
but
yes.
Letting them know that they're part of that, and that they're so powerful.
Yeah. So tell us just briefly about, I loved how you used the gems, sapphire and amethyst and rose quartz and the pearl and all of those as the children went through their, went through their journey, and tying it a little bit to the chakra system. And so can you just briefly maybe pick a few of those and what the energy was of those chakras that the children learned about in their journey?
Sure. So yeah, the chakras are definitely in the book, as you hear when you read it, So it's about teaching them that they have a vibrational frequency, that they're full of energy. And we would have been taught when we're growing up, eat healthy food, do physical exercise. That's all correct. But I feel with this generation of children, we can teach them you have a vibrational frequency, you're full of energy, your energy flows through your chakras. And with each of the chakras, they're introduced in the book in a very simple and gentle way. But it's a reminder that when you are doing certain things or being a certain way, for example, spending time being creative or imaginative, loving, you're actually helping to balance your energy. So if you like, the chakra system is giving you the blueprint for perfect well-being if we spend time being that way. So that's, I feel like, was an important thing to introduce to children at a young age, so that they are aware of that. And also as they journey through life and they grow up, when they're looking for, sort of medicine, if you like, or if they're looking to get, healed, they're going to be open to those types of modalities, which I think will become more commonplace, and less so the mainstream, medicine industry that we see now of taking, drugs,
And in terms of the storytelling, this is such a great exercise to do with children, is to ask them how certain colors make them feel. And I think it was the sapphire, the blue, which is the throat chakra. And you talked about, or the little girl said, I just feel like I have courage, you didn't say speak my truth, but I have courage and I can do this. And it's a wonderful exercise, because you take those beautiful sparkling, the way you describe those gems and crystals, and that's something that a young child is never going to forget. I mean, have it out on their desk or have it somewhere and go back to that over and over again.
And absolutely.
You talk about breath a lot and being able to breathe and really tune into that that force within oneself. Yeah. And tell us a little bit about how you tied in listening to your heart, intuition.
Sure. So the gemstones, the analogy that's in both of my books, In My Soul Treasure and Find Your Treasure, is teaching children to visualize they have a treasure chest inside their soul of inner strengths. So I wanted them to start out feeling fully equipped. So rather than you've got to grow, you've got to get old and have all these different experiences to be wise and to have learnt, inner strength, I wanted them to know from the get-go, you're full of that. And all of those inner strengths lie in your soul. So each inner strength has a matching gemstone or jewel to symbolize that they can picture. And so I use that with my children now. I've actually created like an affirmation card kit and a game that goes with my books. So the children can select either by color, like you're saying, what resonates with them. Mm-hmm. Is it the color? Is it the affirmation? Or is it the gemstone? So then they'll choose which one they need. And it's a way that they can communicate how they're feeling, but also what they kind of need. So if they're leaning towards the red card, which is I Am Safe and Sound, which is a ruby red, then that's my way of knowing they need some more reassurance to help them feel safe and sound. And in my games, it's kind of incorporates their little activities. So you could go and, encourage the children to build a blanket fort or just to cuddle up on the couch, hug their teddies and spend time embodying that feeling, because in a way that's how they're learning to self-soothe and to heal themselves. And the same with, so one of the gems is imagination, which is the amethyst. And that was all about teaching children you have a mind's eye, actively use your imagination and picture a better world, because I just know that this generation are full of the wisdom of how they're going to create a new world. And they, you think in the future there'll be jobs that we've never even thought of. The way of life will be so different. So that was actively encouraging them to kind of connect, spending time being imaginative, doing imaginative play, dress-ups, make-believe now keeps your imagination open and active, if you like, so which is going to be important when they're older to kind of remember and to create from.
Yes. And talking about, you didn't use the word manifesting, you wouldn't have used that, but
visualizing
your own. Yes. I don't use say reality either, but what it said in the book.
Visualize your world. So I was teaching them in through the power of positive thinking. So you can release negative thoughts. And there's an activity in the book, which like a gentle exercise taught by a mermaid, which is brilliant, of how to release negative thoughts, to embrace positive thinking and use the power of visualization. So that is teaching them from a very young age that you can create, and the first step to creating is picturing it in your mind, and then they could draw pictures of what it's going to look like. So teaching them from a very young age that that's a skill to use and that they have it within them.
Yes.
They don't have to, wait to grow to find it.
Yeah. As I like to say, live from the inside out, not the outside in.
Absolutely.
And another thing that really touched me was listen to your gut, because so many times children will say things to adults, hug Aunt Sarah, and the child is for some reason or whatever it may be. That's probably not a very good example.
No, but I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yes. And yes. But can you just talk just briefly about that?
Definitely. So again, that is an important skill, because listening to your gut is your first way to basically connect with your higher self or your, divine self. Your intuition is one of the, the key tools that we have to use. So
yes,
in the story, it teaches children to listen to their gut, what it feels like when they have a gut feeling that something is right or good. It's so beautifully said in the book, right or good for them, how that will feel. And how, when something is not the way to go, how that will feel. because it's one of our internal guidance systems is our gut. So from a young age, I want them to know that, yes, you're right, you're going to feel different things. Trust that feeling and then use it to help you guide, you know, to navigate your life, because you'll be leaning into the things that feel right, feel positive, people, places, things. And you'll be, if you feel that feeling about a, you know, person, place or thing that doesn't feel good or right for you, doesn't feel true, then that's your symbol or sign to go, that's not my way to go.
Right.
So it's a, and I think you and I would have been children who would have felt all this, but we had no explanation of it.
Exactly.
And we all hear the term, you know, gut instinct, but I, in the book, it's beautifully explained in a way that a child can understand. And I've even had adults read this and come back to me saying, I always knew that my gut instinct was
right.
a thing.
And well, and mother's right. intuition, you know, we talk about yeah. that. Talk that.
Yes, exactly.
About
that. Yeah.
Mother's intuition. And I loved also when the little girl said, but how will I know it's true? And you talked about sign, you know, being aware and looking for signs and synchronicities from the universe. Another, yeah. you know, such a beautiful thing to help a child remember, because once again, they do know. But so, Kate, how do you feel that this will help transform the world? Teaching our children, you know, helping them to remember these beautiful things, important.
I feel like it will empower them in a way. One part of it is empowerment, so that they'll feel like there's more to them than their thoughts, their feelings, their appearance, their soul. So it gives them a deeper sense of self-awareness, which is only going to be helpful to build confidence, to build resilience. It's going to give them sort of, you know, more backing of themselves, knowing these things, knowing that they're a soul. But also, as we all know, and as we can watch and see, the world is, you know, a pretty wild and woolly place at the moment. And in the future, you know, we can all see things that are looking like just potential challenging times, very challenging times for humanity to navigate. And I've recently been enjoying listening to some of your, you know, previous guests.
Mm.
And so I feel like my books in particular have a healing component. So you and the games especially, these are tools that are healing tools that anyone at any time, if you needed to soothe or reassure a child, you could pick up that book and read that story. And it's going to be very soothing, very calming for them. And it really, the key message in all of it is no matter what's happening in the world outside, you have, you know, a treasure chest of inner strengths inside you. So look within and you'll be able to navigate whatever's happening, because we can't change a lot of the time. We can't change what's happening in the world outside. But that doesn't mean we're powerless. We've got to remember we're very powerful. So we can change ourselves, we can change our response, our reaction, but for children, the most important thing is to soothe and calm and to help them heal and to believe in beauty and love, optimism, positivity, to keep that hopefulness, all of those qualities in them. So then no matter what happens, they are the generation that's going to, you know, walk through and come out the other side and create a new world. So we're really that role of guiding, protecting, shepherding, but at the same time keeping them feeling, you know, powerful and optimistic and creative.
And the more this information gets out to the teachers and the caregivers, those who haven't, I will use the word awakened, not in a negative way at all, but just like I was when I was I was never a young mom when I was a mother. And to, you know, to awaken them too. So this information, it's not just for parents. I just did this ritual project. I'm still doing it, Grandmother's Footprints. And what a wonderful, whether someone gets your book or they just listen to this podcast and they grab the gems from it, and well, not literally, but they grab the importance from it and use the lessons. And just share with any child, because the children are just eat this up. They need it. They want it so badly. So for any of my listeners, you know, parents are so crazy sometimes with our schedules and what's going on. But if someone who deeply loves them can just be present and help them with these tools, because you can just imagine as a child not only learning this, but then having someone who deeply loves you, like, you know, someone that's there with you that you can talk to about it. So important.
It is. And taking that time to share that sort of message with them. And using that method of visualizing their inner, you know, jewels, all their treasure inside them. Exactly right. Like if we were told that as children, imagine how we'd feel, whether we're walking across the schoolyard or walking into our first job. It doesn't matter. You just feel so equipped, so full of confidence. And I think that is just so needed in the world for children, especially when they're dealing with things, you know, like social media at an age that we're never exposed to that. So I want them to always remember that, yeah, it doesn't matter what the appearances are, doesn't matter what you're seeing on social media, you're going to have different thoughts in your head, but you can release negative thoughts, you can embrace positive thinking, you can visualize, and your emotions with your heart, you can, again, express your angry feelings if you like, let them out. That's really important. There's so much at the moment on this regulation of emotions, whereas I'm all about expression. Yes. And I know I'm a mom, I can, you know, when my kids are losing it, I'm still like, oh, calm down. But still, they've got to let it out and express it and learn that each of those emotions are little, you know, signposts telling them something. Mm. But then they can embrace their beautiful, positive emotions. And that's that connection with the heart chakra. So it's, yeah, to me, it's just a treasure chest of beautiful, you know, wisdom that any child at a young age would just enjoy.
Beautiful. So Kate, how has this changed you as a person? You know, I know you were always into geology, so I'm assuming you've always been a nature person, and it goes without saying that, and we should, but we will say it, that getting out in nature is just so incredibly important for all of us, including our children. But before you started, you know, really exploring with your husband, and you're a geologist, and then you went to law school, and how have you changed?
I've definitely softened. Yeah, I've softened, and I'm enjoying my life. Like I'm letting myself have fun. And I think, you know, we all learn, you know, that follow your heart, listen to your heart, you know, it's through your heart that you will understand many things. And I'm really learning what that means. Yeah. And that means allow yourself to do what you love, like give yourself the time and space, which as a young mum, it's hard when you're changing nappies and, you know, babies are crying and you're having sleepless nights. I get that. And I'm just enjoying, I'm on the other side of that chapter where I'm letting myself, you know, stock up on gemstones, create magical games, create resources with gemstones. That is my passion, but I'm also giving something of service at the same time. So it feels the chapter of the life, you know, of my life that I'm in is just really rewarding right now and enjoyable. Even just the joy and thrill of being an author like you are with your amazingly magical book, too, Marla, which my children and I love, is there's, you know, something so special in storytelling. When my kids were really little, I did a cute thing, which your listeners might be able to do too if they love it. I tell them a bedtime story each night, and I'd start out going, once upon a time, but not very long ago, when I was, and they would pick my age, and then I'd just tell them a story from that age.
I love it.
And they absolutely love it. So sometimes I'm older and I'm telling them a story about bears and wolves in Canada. You know, sometimes I'm a child, I'm telling them stories about growing up on a farm. So it's been like that joy of storytelling to me is just It's such a beautiful, it's a love language. It's a connection with your children. They get to learn about you.
Yes.
They love it. And it was funny, my daughter, I said to her when they knew I was going to be on this morning on your beautiful show, I said, "Do you have any words of wisdom for the people of the world?" And she was so adorable. And one of the top things was more bedtime stories for children. And she said it puts imagination into their minds. They love sharing the experiences and it's soothing. So I just thought that was gorgeous because it really is that. And even when I was working, you know, full time, you're exhausted and you're putting the kids to bed at night. I know you're exhausted, but really you just have to think back. And I know you would do this, you know, there's so many amazing moments in your life, so many cool little experiences, whether they're holidays or a trip here or you found this or met someone. And then they're just moments that you can share with them by turning into a story. And it's role modeling in a way as well. You're teaching them, mom can do it or Nana can do it. You can do it too.
Right.
So then it's another kind of confidence boost of, oh, wow. And it's inspiring. You know, it's them knowing that when you grow up, you can create a life that you want, you know, you can create and choose.
Mm-hmm.
I've just enjoyed that.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Well, tell your daughter, thank you. It was the highlight of the show. You can let her know. And so, Kate, we need to wrap it up, but is there anything else that you'd like to say that I haven't asked a question about?
Just about my game. So I've created a game. It's a treasure hunt game called Find Your Treasure, and it's available in Australia, but my dream is to make that worldwide.
Wonderful.
And it's a tool that for a teacher, a parent, even a therapist, it applies. I've got a class and therapy kit and I've got a home kit, and that's going to be a tool which includes treasure hunt cards that children can go on a game and, you know, and find the clue cards. Then they find a bag of real gemstones and affirmation cards, and then there's storyteller cards. So it really is it creates an experience or a tool to start talking about inner strengths, start role modeling examples from your life when you've shown those qualities, and a connection and a healing tool.
Wow. Well, we'll have to talk about that, the two of us, getting it to America.
And here is one beautiful story I wanted to share with you, Marla, of something that my daughter and son said when they were young. So Emily was 7 at the time and Josh was 5, and I just created my company, which is called Soul Treasure, for my books and games. And Josh said, "Mum, what's my soul?" And we were outside, and Emily skipped past and said to him, "Your soul is bigger than you and older than the air," and kept skipping.
Wow.
And I was like,
wow.
She did at 7.
Wow.
And then, yeah, that was just one of those moments that you're like, wow.
Hey, thank you so much. And if people want to find you and learn more about you, how would they do that?
You can find me on my website, www.soultreasures.com.au, which is Australia, and on Instagram at Kate Soul Treasure.
Great. And all of that will be in our show notes also, and the copies of your beautiful books.
Yes. Thank you so much, Marla.
So much. And you have a good rest of the day. If you've enjoyed today's episode and want to continue your journey, please subscribe to my podcast on your favorite platform. It helps us reach more people with these valuable conversations. Also, head over to my new website at marlahughes.com and sign up for our newsletter for even more exciting adventures. Thank you.